Well, we're talking here about the Pope's recent apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia, and Chapter 8 addressed the issue of whether Catholics under certain limited circumstances who are divorced and remarried while their first spouse is still alive could receive communion. And of course, the answer the Catholic Church has always given to that question has been no. And so what the Pope is basically saying is, well, actually, maybe there are some circumstances. But Chapter 8 was ambiguous. Was it allowing it? Wasn't it allowing it? So a group of Argentine bishops produced a set of guidelines as to the implementation of Chapter 8 in this question. The Pope wrote to them and said this is the only interpretation, and their interpretation was that there are circumstances under which a divorced and remarried Catholic can indeed receive communion. Circumstances are limited and it has to be a case-by-case basis, but the fact that the Pope said this is the only correct interpretation of Chapter 8 is highly significant.
So nobody else can interpret it in their own way, basically. Everybody has to go along with what these Argentinian bishops are saying.
I mean, I suppose what the Pope has said about it isn't at the level of, I suppose, infallibility, all right? But nonetheless, the fact that he's the Pope gives it enormous weight, and you'd have to have an extremely good reason not to go along with it. Like, notably, this is before this happened, Archbishop Charles Chaput, who's the Archbishop of Philadelphia, issued his own interpretation of Chapter 8 and said, no, you can't receive communion when you're divorced and remarried under any circumstances. So I don't know what he's going to do now that the Pope has kind of come out and said, actually, the Argentine bishop's interpretation is the correct one. The kind of circumstance that they seem to have in mind would be, let's say you're young, you marry, your marriage breaks down while you're still young, you marry again, you have children in the second marriage. Now, the Church's teaching is, if you want to receive communion, you must abstain from sex and live like brother and sister. And we'd say the woman says, my new husband is never going to accept that. We have children, it's going to break up the marriage. So we'll do damage. The priest might say, well, okay, given your circumstances, given that you regret what happened to the first marriage, given that you're repentant about what happened to the first marriage, and given that, you know, you can't live like brother and sister realistically, that it will damage the children, it will break up the marriage, you're allowed to receive communion. So it's those kind of rare circumstances that they seem to have in mind. But I think what the Pope is trying to do is he is trying to kind of reset somewhat the balance within the Church between his teaching role and his pastoral role. Now, Cardinal Gerhard Müller said something interesting. He's the Vatican's head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And he said, you can't separate Jesus the pastor from Jesus the teacher, the same person. But you've got to get the balance right between them. So you can't have the teachings presented simply in a harsh way. It's all about standards, it's all about living up to certain rules, and when people fail to live by these, we're going to make it difficult for you to find a way back, including a way back to communion. And so the Pope is trying to set something of a reset button. And it's a very delicate balancing act, because you do have to obviously uphold the teachings of the Church clearly. We can't be second-guessing Jesus about marriage. But at the same time, you know, you want to find a way back for people who are conscientious Catholics, who are doing their best in their particular walk of life. Life is messy. The Pope recognises this. I refer to the situation of the woman in the second marriage who can't possibly live like brother and sister without breaking up the marriage. And so the Pope wants to work out a way back for these without compromising what the Church has to say about marriage overall.
Yeah, I mean, the situation of the couple who have children, presuming the children are from the second marriage and they're to live like brother and sister, but would they have understood that going into the second marriage? I mean, you know, when are they coming? It just seems a little bit complicated. I mean, it's clear that they didn't intend to live like brother and sister. They weren't living like brother and sister. So kind of why bring in that stipulation at all? Because it's not really very realistic for anybody who would be entering a second marriage, regardless of whether there are children or not.
Well, you see, supposing you've got a woman who, or a man, who, when they get divorced first time, wasn't actually a practicing Catholic anymore. Let's say they'd given up the practice of the faith. So they might be a baptized Catholic. And they get remarried, and they're still not practicing. But then some years later, they come back to the faith, and they say, well, hang on a minute, I'd like to receive communion, and apparently I can't. They look at what Jesus has to say and what the Church has to say. What Jesus says is that if you remarry while your first spouse is alive, you're guilty of adultery. Now, this is a hard teaching. I mean, it's a difficult one. But it's what Jesus gave us. And again, we can't be second-guessing Jesus. We can't say we're more compassionate than Jesus. And Jesus was the same person who gave us stories like the prodigal son. And then he gives us this hard teaching about marriage. So this is kind of trying to reconcile what he had to say about the indissolubility of marriage with his teachings about mercy and forgiveness and repentance. So that's what the Pope was trying to do. And obviously he doesn't have in mind somebody going up to receive communion who doesn't in any way, shape or form regret the end of their first marriage. Simply walked out on their wife, for example, or walked out on their husband, has no regrets about that, gets married again, doesn't really care about the church's teaching on this matter, and just presents him or herself for communion. So the Pope clearly doesn't want to see somebody like that present themselves for communion. He wants somebody who's a genuinely conscientious Catholic, who's, you know, wrestling in a conscientious way with this issue, does regret the end of their first marriage, is in a second marriage with children, and doesn't want to bring it to an end by saying, hey, you know what, we need to live like brothers and sisters now. Because in an awful lot of cases, that's going to be quite unrealistic. This is not what they signed up for. They're in a different place in their lives now. They're now, as I say, trying to be observant Catholics. So the Pope simply wants to find a way to bring them back into full communion with the Church.
You made the point, in one of your articles as well for the Irish Catholic earlier, you made the point that even within the Gospels, there is a certain amount of contradiction regarding divorce and remarriage. You know, that there's different teachings that there's, in some cases, it can be done in cases of adultery, and in other cases, it can't be done regardless.
I mean, when it comes to the different accounts of what Jesus said about divorce and remarriage, I'm not a biblical exegesis. I mean, different churches have obviously interpreted what Jesus has said about divorce in different ways. Because I think it's in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus seems to allow an exception for divorce and remarriage where your first spouse committed adultery on you, was unfaithful on you. And he seems to create an exception there. But then in the other Gospel, I think it might be Mark, but it could be wrong there, so he doesn't seem to allow any exceptions. So the Catholic Church has taken a stricter view. It's interesting to see that the Orthodox churches, which Catholic Church recognises as an apostolic church, going all the way back through the apostles to Jesus, does allow for divorce and remarriage under various circumstances and has for a long time. Now, the Catholic Church actually believes that it did that under pressure from a kind of Eastern Orthodox version of Henry VIII. And it kind of succumbed to the power of the state in that respect. But nonetheless, they've allowed communion for divorced and remarried Catholics under certain circumstances for a long time. So these things are open to interpretation. I saw an interesting conversation between the Pope when he was still in Argentina and the chief rabbi of Buenos Aires. And he was saying that back in Jesus' day, and this is the chief rabbi, he was saying that back in Jesus' day, divorce was quite widespread in Israel. And it was extremely easy for a man in particular to divorce his wife. And he said it was a party within Judaism that was really disgusted at this way that husbands could set aside their wives extremely easily. And that Jesus would have been part of the faction that rebelled against the relatively easy divorce that existed back then, and particularly the way in which men were easily able to cast aside their wives. So it's kind of interesting that if that is correct, that Jesus was almost taking a kind of feminist view here, that you can't have men being easily able to cast aside their wives, basically under interpretation of Jewish law. Some of the Pharisees were basically creating all kinds of ways in which a husband could divorce his wife. And so Jesus was kind of putting a stop to that to the best of his ability at the time.
And I mean, the other, I suppose, but going back to the ruling and going back to the teaching in terms of divorce and remarriage, there's also a sense, and you talk about people being repentant about what happened in their first marriage, but there are also people who are just naturally victims of a circumstance that, you know, that their partner walked out on them, and they may have done everything and wanted to do everything to keep the marriage together. I mean, there must surely be some dispensation for them if they go on to get married, even if they plan to go on and have, you know, a full sexual relationship with their second marriage or whatever, because it does seem like they are very much a victim of circumstance.
I mean, I remember a few years ago a lawyer, you know, a very conscientious Catholic lawyer, asking me whether a Catholic lawyer could help with a divorce. And I said, yes, of course. I said, because a good and conscientious Catholic or Christian can be divorced against their will. They might want to keep the marriage intact, but the other spouse says, I don't want this anymore, I'm out of here. And so that person needs legal representation. So here we have a Catholic divorced against their will, was doing their absolute utmost to keep the marriage intact, and they might still be, you know, 30 years of age, 35 years of age, and they think, am I supposed to spend the rest of my life, you know, in this kind of situation? So should they be allowed to remarry? Now again, strictly speaking, the Church says no. But let's say the years roll by and they have a family now, and They do regret everything that happened. It wasn't their fault. It's unrealistic to live with brother and sister because it'll break up the marriage. Again, that seems to be the kind of situation that the Pope has in mind. But he also seems, by the way, to want to make the rules of annulment easier and the process faster.
So that could be a way around it, in a sense, that you'd allow someone in that circumstance maybe to push for an annulment.
If the first marriage didn't fulfil the proper conditions of a marriage, so there wasn't free and proper consent, for example, then obviously the door would be open for the marriage to be made null. So one of the reasons, you can say there wasn't full and proper consent is because of maybe the immaturity of the spouses, or because they didn't properly understand what they were actually committing themselves to.
But, I mean, a lot of people could say that about life. Nobody really knows what they're committing to at the time.
Well, I mean, this is the grayness of life, isn't it? And that's why, by the way, like America was often criticised, at least the American church was often criticised for making the annulment too easily. And in other jurisdictions, it was extremely difficult to have your marriage set aside. So, you know, these things are open to interpretation. And I think according to taste, and according to the age we live in, and according to who's the bishop in your particular diocese, or who is the canon lawyer in your particular diocese, who's running the marriage tribunal, the interpretation of these rules is going to differ. And that's simply a fact, because that's human nature.
I mean, there must be people realistically living who maybe are divorced and remarried and who are going to communion. I mean, are those people realistically being stopped in churches at the moment, or were they realistically being stopped or being asked not to come for communion?
I've never heard of a situation where actually a divorced and remarried Catholic has been prevented from receiving communion. And in a big parish, I'd say most people wouldn't even know who's divorced and remarried and who's going to have to receive communion. So it's actually not really a live issue in most parishes. So I think what's really going on here is what the Pope is doing is symbolically important, in the sense of, as I say, trying to kind of reset the balance between teaching what Jesus says about these matters, and at the same time trying to extend what Jesus also had to say about mercy. So it's getting the balance right there, and that's what the Pope's trying to do.